My dearly beloved in Christ, we are all familiar with this gospel story, this parable of the laborers in the vineyard, and it has several applications. The one I would like to make that has particular interest for us is the application to those who serve God, at what point in their lives they begin to love and serve God. There are those who were trained well by their parents as children. They said their prayers, they practiced their faith, and they continued doing so throughout their lives. They are like the workers hired at the beginning of the day. There are those who came in a little later, at the third hour, or maybe the sixth hour, like those who perhaps were trained well as children, but they drifted away. And perhaps for a period of time in their lives, they were away from the sacraments, away from God, and then by his grace returned. And then there are those who, like the sixth and the ninth hour, later on in life, perhaps in middle age, by the grace of God, began to live their faith seriously. And finally, those at the 11th hour, those who come late in life, but nevertheless, they receive the grace of conversion, they give up the world and sin, and they begin to serve and love God. And so the point here is they all received the wage at the end of the day, the denarius, even though they came late in life. So, too, we will be rewarded if we persevere up to our death and we die in the grace of God. We shall receive that wage, that reward of everlasting happiness. But there is one difference, and that is that the wage will not be the same for everyone. In other words, the place in heaven, the happiness of heaven, will not be the same for everyone. Yes, all of those who die in God's grace will have everlasting happiness with him. But our place in heaven will be determined by the merits we acquire in life. And we gain merit every time we pray, we receive the sacraments, we perform an act of charity, a good work. We gain an indulgence, we practice mortification, like we should during this upcoming season of Lent especially. But every time we do something like that, a good work done in the state of grace with the right intention, merits a reward in heaven. And we are constantly building up these merits. So let us persevere then, persevere to the end, and not worry about others, maybe someone that seemingly squandered his youth or even many years of life and then turned to God. The important thing is once we have been given that grace, that we embrace that grace, that we live it, and that we persevere in the love and service of God. But I would like this morning especially to spend the bulk of time in the sermon on the epistle. And today's epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians is very interesting for a couple of reasons. One of them, he talks about the possibility of himself being rejected. Notice he says, "I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected." This is really striking. St. Paul has been called the greatest of the apostles, and yet he feared for himself. He realized that he couldn't just become lax and complacent, that he had to chastise, as he says, his body, that he had to continue to practice prayer and penance in order to persevere. And if St. Paul, how much more we must, as he says, fight not as one beating the air. He talks about runners in a race, athletes who train their bodies, and they go through rigid training, and they're very conscientious about their diet, what they will eat, what they must avoid, because they want their body to be in top shape when the competition comes, the race or whatever the competition They want to win a prize, win the crown, as he says. But they are working for a perishable crown. We, an imperishable. How much more should we not give ourselves to a life of self-discipline, of prayer, of penance, of devout reception of the sacraments, and again, good Catholic living? And then towards the end of the gospel, of the epistle, he talks about Moses. And it might be a little confusing, so let's go through these words. He says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers, meaning our forefathers, our ancestors, were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. So what is this cloud? Well, if you remember the story from the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, that Moses released the Israelites from Egypt, and there were hundreds of thousands of them, well over a million of them. And they were living in slavery in Egypt, laboring for Pharaoh. And Moses delivered them by means of the 10 plagues that he brought upon the Egyptians. You remember the water turning to blood, and then the frogs overrunning the land, and the locusts, and the boils on people, the disease among the cattle, all of these things, the darkness, and then finally the 10th plague, the firstborn in each family being slain by the angel of death. And there would be a plague, and then Pharaoh would say, okay, Moses, I'll let you take your people. And then he would change his mind and say, no, you can't. I don't want to lose my slave labor. And so finally, after the 10th plague, Pharaoh said, leave. And the Egyptians were only too glad to see the Israelites leave after all of these sufferings came upon them. But then, even then, after they left, it says here in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, when it was reported to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants changed their minds about them. What have we done? They exclaimed. Why, we have released Israel from our service. So Pharaoh then gathered his army. It says, Pharaoh made his chariots ready and mustered his soldiers, 600 first-class chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt, with warriors on them all. So here is this army of the Egyptians pursuing the Israelites. Now the Egyptians have horses and they have chariots. They had speed. The Israelites were walking. And not only that, when the Egyptians caught up to the Israelites, they were at the border of the Red Sea. They were surrounded. There was no escape. And they cried out to Moses and they said, maybe it would have been better for us to remain in Egypt as slaves rather than to die here in the desert. And Moses said, don't worry. The Lord himself will fight for you. And this is what it says. The angel of God, who had been leading Israel's camp, now moved and went around behind them. The column of cloud also, leaving the front, took up its place behind them, so that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and that of Israel. But the cloud now became dark, and thus the night passed without the rival camps coming any closer together all night long. So this pillar of cloud was luminous. Even at nighttime, it would be so bright that they could see where they were going. And they followed the cloud. But now it moved behind them, between them and the Egyptians, and it went completely dark. And so dark that the Egyptians could not go forward. And then it says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea with a strong east wind throughout the night, and so turned it into dry land. When the water was thus divided, the Israelites marched into the midst of the sea on dry land with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. And of course, you all know the conclusion of this story, that after all the Israelites had passed through, and the Egyptians, once they perceived this at dawn, they went headlong into the sea, pursuing them. And then Moses once again stretched the rod over the sea, and the waters flowed back to their normal course and drowned Pharaoh and all the members of the Egyptian army. So you were baptized, St. Paul says, or they were baptized, our forefathers, in the cloud and in the sea. And then St. Paul goes on to say about their forefathers in the desert, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them. Now, St. Paul is referencing two more miracles. So it was that miracle of the Red Sea dividing, but there was the miracle of the manna, this sustenance. When they left Egypt, after a time, they consumed all the food that they had taken with them. And again, they cried out to Moses, and he prayed. And God said that they would find food in the morning. And there it was like the dew on the ground, this manna. And it was like bread, and they ate it, and it tasted sweet. And it had all the nutrients that they needed, completely satisfied them. And they were fed daily with this manna for 40 years. So this miraculous spiritual food. And then he talks about they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, referencing the miracle when Moses took the rod and struck the rock, when they were all parched with thirst. They were in a place in the desert. They had no water left in their bottles, their canteens, and they were very much thirsty, starving for water, eager for water. He struck the rock. Water gushed forth out of the rock and satisfied their thirst, not only all the Israelites, but even all of their animals. Just water, you can imagine, gushing out from a rock with this large population of people. So Moses, or St. Paul, is reminding the early Christians, look at what God did for the chosen people. Look at these miracles of the Red Sea, of the manna, of the water from the rock. But he concludes the epistle with these striking words, yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. What a tragic statement that after all that he did for them, the Israelites being delivered from Egypt, going through the desert, being led to the promised land, with most of them, God was not well pleased. These words should cause us to reflect and to examine our conscience. Is God pleased with me? Is God pleased with my life? I will be certain to live and to persevere in living my faith so that it cannot be said of me, with him, with her, with them, God was not well pleased. May God be pleased with us. May he grant us the grace, and may we cooperate with that grace so that we are pleasing to God, so that we get the wage at the end of the day, the end of our lives, after laboring in the Lord's vineyard, that we will receive the happiness of heaven. And we will, if we persevere in living our faith to our dying breath and die, God grant, in his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.